Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank goodness summer is finally here, I think.
Yep.
Now I probably jinxed it. It'll snow.
Try and wear out my motorcycles this summer.
Yeah, so let's talk about that for a second. So, House of Harley.
Oh, yes. House of Harley.
Oxford.
I was going somewhere else.
No, not your trip. I know that's where you want to go.
Well, that's coming too. Soon, too. Also.
House of Harley wanted somebody from our team to come up and take the rider's course.
Correct.
Up there. And we volunteered you.
With my pleasure. I think it's going to be awesome. I'm very excited.
But it's interesting because you said you spent some time working on it last week a little bit, looking at some things. Because you're a very, very long time motorcycle rider.
About 52 years.
Yeah. And so taking this class, what's your insight here? How do you feel?
It's
challenging for you, isn't it?
It is. I had to do an E-class, mm-hmm. You get on the computer and it's all the basic stuff. And for me, it's like, this is ridiculous.
Right.
But then when I put myself in the mindset of, all right, you've never been on a motorcycle before. You have no idea what any of this is about.
Right.
You got to look at it from that direction. So when I did that, it became a lot easier.
Mm-hmm.
And I paid more attention because at first it was like, my God, I already know this stuff. I don't need to know this. And when I found I was getting questions wrong on the quizzes, all right, I'm missing something. And what it was I wasn't paying attention.
Yeah.
And you need to pay attention because it's new. It's like when I'm teaching firearms, I've taught it for a long time and I know what I'm doing, but I've never, I've taught people how to ride motorcycles, but I've never been an instructor.
Right.
And this is all stuff that needs to be covered, and it's, for me, it's second nature. You don't even think about it.
Right.
But it's all stuff that you need to know how to do.
But you're supposed to think about it. Right.
Correct.
Right.
Correct.
Well, and it's interesting because we have had a lot of people say, I've been riding for a long, long time, but I take this thing every 2 or 3 years just because it keeps you on your toes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm really super excited now after going through that. When I was asked to do this or voluntold or whatever.
voluntold. That's exactly
the first thing I thought of was, well, I've always heard people say I've learned stuff in that class. Mm-hmm. So I was excited to go.
Right.
But now I know they have an advanced class.
Ah.
So I want to see, maybe we should do that one too.
Do that one next. Yeah. Do that one later in the summer. Because they have these all summer long. You just go to houseofharley.com and you can see the schedule. They've got classes all summer long.
Yeah.
It's just a great thing to do. I am excited about this next guest, Tom.
I am too.
This ought to
be fun.
This is Phil Steigerwald. Tell us a little bit about your history. I know you haven't been at the law firm for too long. You're super enjoying it, getting to do a lot of things.
Yeah, so I started at GKWW about a year ago. I was thrown right into it, just general practice, every area of law, real estate, probate, estate planning, trial litigation, appellate litigation, all that sort of thing. It's very few areas that I haven't done at least a little bit on.
Sure, sure. And I heard recently you're writing something for a Supreme Court case?
That's been written and submitted. We're, we're waiting for oral argument on that, but we had the opportunity to write a brief for the Supreme Court and a construction insurance case.
Oh, cool.
So that's going to be very impactful on that area of law, whichever way it goes.
Right, right. Yeah. It's interesting, all of the different, people don't realize, again, like you just said, the impact,
mm-hmm.
right? That when you go to the Supreme Court, really in any case, because basically any case can set a huge precedent. It's not necessarily, many cases are decided by former precedents, based on those decisions, but there's a case every single minute of every single day in any courtroom mm-hmm. that could set a brand new precedent for something
change
else.
The whole country.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and that has an enormous effect on every single contractor in the state,
right?
Because not everybody's going to go to litigation over a dispute like this, but the attorneys involved are going to look at the precedent, see what the likely outcome at litigation would be, and make their decisions accordingly. Because everybody wants to avoid litigation if possible. But so all of these decisions happen in what we call in the shadow of the law.
Right.
Right. They're not being knocked down, drag out fights in the courts, but it's going to affect day to day of every single contractor in the future here.
Right. I have a question about a historical law, and I'm only asking about the law itself, not the content of the law or anything, but
sure.
you know, the ever controversial Roe versus Wade.
Mm-hmm.
That is a case that set a precedent,
mm-hmm.
right? The decision in that case was not a law, right? It didn't, just because that decision was made, that didn't make it a law. That is just a case that people have used since then,
mm-hmm.
or to make decisions.
Yeah, so it isn't a statute, but it has the force of law.
Okay.
Right, so what it said was that the Constitution guarantees the right
the
to...
The right.
Yeah,
okay.
And, you know, I have a lot of thoughts about that. I don't mm-hmm. know if you want to get into it.
No, yeah, and but, I'm not, and that's not the part I'm trying to get
sure.
into, but like... You know, my mother-in-law, and I know she wasn't, she was just confused about what they were talking about, but she mm-hmm. said, I remember voting on that. And I was like, no, you no. don't. We never, nobody ever voted on that.
Well, was she on the Supreme Court?
She was not, no. in fact, on the Supreme Court.
Yeah, no, I would think not.
Yeah. And so, but yeah. That's my thing is that this, okay, so it has the force of law,
mm-hmm.
but it was never... Mm-hmm. made a statute or a law, right?
Like, well, the Supreme Court basically said the Constitution allows this or requires
okay.
this.
Okay.
We interpret the Constitution to require that this be allowed.
Okay.
Right? So what they're it's an interpretation of the Constitution, essentially, and it has the force of law, but it can be overturned.
Right.
So no, it was never voted on by
right.
the people. It was never voted on by our legislature.
Right.
It was just this sort of... bald assertion that the Constitution requires this.
Right. Okay. So it was an interpretation.
Yes.
That's the perfect way to describe it. And, you know, people, because my thing right now is I don't understand what all the, if you're so sure, and I know this doesn't have anything to do with you or your law firm, but if you're so sure that this is what the people want, then you should not have a problem taking it back to the states for right. a vote. And mm-hmm. and that's what I think people don't understand. Like, you can't overturn this law. It wasn't a law necessarily. That's not exactly, it wasn't carved in stone. It is overturnable, like mm-hmm. you said. And I think that's yeah. where people get confused.
Yeah.
They
and
just don't, they yeah. don't understand that.
And beginning, so in my opinion, beginning back in like the 30s in mm-hmm. the FDR era, the Supreme Court sort of took it upon itself to make these more and more broad interpretations
right.
of the Constitution and reading things into it that, you know, in my opinion, really should have been left to the legislature because that's the voice of the people. You
right.
know, these nine people on the bench of the Supreme Court, their job is to interpret mm-hmm. and not create law.
Right.
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 So what they're effectively doing is creating laws out of whole cloth, basically. I mean, again,
yeah.
my opinion.
Right.
To really advance, you know, what they think the law ought to be.
Right.
Not their job.
Right. And that's exactly what I think. And again, I go back to, these people don't represent, I didn't vote on that person. I didn't have a choice who was put in that position. And now you're making those kinds of major decisions and are completely in conflict with what so many of us believe that the Constitution, in fact, does say. And mm-hmm. so again, take it back to the actual people
mm-hmm.
and not the nine people that are sitting there. And I just, you know, that's what, but I've wanted somebody to say, to make people understand this is the difference. And lots of people don't interpret it that way. And so, yeah, you
well,
take
opinion.
It back to the people. Oh, it's opinion. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. We're talking with Phil Steigerwald of GKWW Law. You have been now you've been exposed through over the last year, many, many cases, many types of law that, you know, you've kind of been able to dabble in. What do you like to do? What's been your favorite so far? What do you think you want to do going forward?
So what I've really enjoyed so far is appellate litigation,
yeah.
which is, you know, when you, after the trial phase of a case, or, you know, in the midst of a trial, if there's a decision during the trial on, say, summary judgment or a motion to dismiss,
right.
sort of, you know, pre-trial
mm-hmm.
Decisions, that can be appealed to the Court of Appeals. and what that court does is they review the record that had been created below. So there's no dispute about the facts, really.
Right.
There's a sort of set sandbox of facts that you're working with, and you're just working with those facts and applying them and applying the law to them.
Okay.
Right. So it's purely legal argument, which is what I really enjoy, because I'm not as keen on the process of, you know, going and hunting down facts and,
right.
and you know, deposing people and taking testimony on the stand and that sort of thing, because that can get, you know, very messy very quickly.
Sure.
And you don't really know how things are going to go.
Right.
So I like to make the argument about the law. That's really what I like to
yeah.
do. And it's all written. So it's... Yeah.
See, I like that part, too. Like, I think, you know, we talked a little bit about this off the air. The arguing part,
yeah.
yes. Which is exactly what my husband would say. So thank you for filling in for him today.
You're welcome. That's why I was here.
Right. So, but, you know, there's many, many people that we have come on here, you know, mm-hmm. that I say, I could never do that job.
Yeah.
Like, I could never be a cop. That would mm-hmm. be a bad idea. I have no tolerance for stupid, so that just would not work out for me. There's a lot of jobs I couldn't do. I could be a lawyer. And the reason why is because I do have... I understand where you're coming from mm-hmm. with liking to do, making those comparisons and taking the law and applying it. And I don't want to use the word manipulate, because that's not the right word if that's the negative connotation.
Massage.
But you do. Yes. You take, you know, you massage it to mm-hmm. this could apply here. This could apply there. It could apply to the situation. And mm-hmm. I love that mm-hmm. kind of theory.
Yeah. And really where you've got your wiggle room there is in case law, right?
Yeah.
These are like the Supreme Court decisions we were talking about before. These are Court of Appeals decisions that are binding precedent.
Mm-hmm.
So they have the force of law and they are interpreting statutes, essentially. And so they say, you know, they say all different sorts of things. And as the composition of the courts change over time, they present things differently
right.
or they overturn. And so it's just a matter of finding the precedent that's good for your argument.
Right.
A lot of research.
Yes, it is a lot of research, but it's enjoyable.
But see, I would love that. I would love trying to find the exact right peg to go in that slot.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly
it's
what
very,
that is.
It's very, very satisfying.
Yeah.
That's the finesse area of the law.
Right.
Yeah.
The finesse.
Right.
Finesse it. That's the word we're looking for.
I like the brutal side of it.
But, yeah.
What's the brutal side, Tom?
Just putting the bad guys in jail.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that is the brutal side. That is the brutal
side. It's easier.
Yes. I don't know.
It is for me.
Well, it would be for you.
Yeah, finesse is not my thing.
Oh.
Really never had that
shocked.
Quality.
I'm shocked. Okay, so I have a question about this appellate litigation.
Sure.
And it really has to do with a very serious case in the world today that I think that everybody should be paying attention to. And if you cannot hear my sarcasm, then please understand that it is really, really prominent in this next
Yeah, don't adjust your dial.
Sentence.
It's there.
The Johnny Depp Amber Heard case. Johnny Depp won that case, deservedly so.
Yes, absolutely.
That woman is a horrific actress. I mean, she
proven on the stand.
Yeah, I mean, did you see when she was doing cocaine on the stand, or do we need to get into that later? Totally serious.
I did not. It just did not grab my interest like it did yours.
We're going to Google it after the show. I'm going to show you. Not kidding. Swear to God, she did.
Uh-oh.
You can see it. I mean, it's just that twice. It was anyway. She'll never work again after this. Not just because of the case itself, but because she proved, again, to be the most horrific actress on the planet. Also, she did horrific damage to the real, true core Me Too movement because she lied. Bold-faced lied. I mean, there was no doubt about it. However, because we all know that she does not and will not have the money to ever pay Johnny Depp, the $10
million. $10 million, that's what it was?
Well, it was 15. There's a limit in Virginia, statutory limit. And then she was awarded $2 million
right.
on the other side.
Right. I see.
So it'll come out to about $10 million that he doesn't even need, that probably will never get paid,
whatever. I don't think it was about the money.
Not at all.
It was just about proving that he was right and she was wrong.
Right. Yeah.
Or she lied.
I mean, it was basically a needed, not a stunt exactly, but it was needed for him to restore his reputation.
Right.
Well, that's the coolest thing about this. I don't mean to interrupt you, but finally the liar gets taken to task.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
That's what I was excited about. I could care less about either one of them.
Right, because that doesn't always happen.
No, but to see the system work.
Yeah, the system absolutely works.
Nice.
And on the other side of that coin, the part that he lost, Johnny Depp didn't even do that. It was his lawyers that put out some statement, or a lawyer that put out some statement that should not probably have been worded in the way that it did. And so they awarded her like a, you know, a pittance of what she was asking for. She was asking for what, $100 million? They ordered, they gave her two. So, you know, it was just a symbolic gesture. Mm-hmm. But that would be when she appeals, which she will, because again, number one, I don't think that she's the type of person that will shut up and go away because she's a little full of herself. Mm-hmm. But second of all, because she doesn't and never will have the money to pay this.
Yeah.
That would be the kind of case that you would hear the, right?
Yes.
In the appellate litigation.
Yes,
phase.
that would be where that would go.
So then what would she argue? What kind of things do you think she'd argue? Like, so she accused him of physical and sexual abuse and all of these kinds of things. The jury didn't see, that it was defamation of character that she wrote that op-ed piece and said that she was an abuse survivor and implied that he was the one that abused her. Mm-hmm. How can she even appeal that, or how can one even appeal it?
Yeah, well, with a defamation suit, there's basically two things at issue, because you're saying you lied about me and destroyed my reputation. So you have to prove two things: that the statements were untrue, and that the person had a reputation that was damaged by those statements.
So clearly, Johnny Depp did that.
Yeah. So I don't think she has a prayer on appeal. Yeah. At least according to the, you know, maybe there's some procedural issue that I'm not aware of.
Right.
But, you know, as far as I'm aware, he definitely proved that those things were untrue.
Yeah.
And the thing here, the way the appellate court would look at it is, did the trial court engage in some abusive discretion, right? Was their ruling completely unreasonable given the evidence before it?
Okay.
I just don't think that's the case. I mean, to be honest, I stopped following after the item in the bed part of that, but that's my understanding, is that, you know, it was kind of a slam dunk there,
right?
And in any case, you know, she's not going to be able to prove that the trial court did anything wrong,
right?
Which is really what you're doing on an appeal case.
That's what you're doing in the appeals process. It's not disputing evidence that's already been presented or anything like that. It's appealing the process.
Yeah. So I mean, there's different standards for different things, for different, you know, kinds of cases. But really, what you're asking is, did either the trial court or the jury in the trial engage in some, not necessarily misconduct, but was their conclusion completely unwarranted by the facts presented and the law to be applied?
Okay.
Right.
And absolutely not in this case.
Yeah, it's just...
Her bad acting and lying had nothing to do with that, so she's on her own.
I don't know. Okay, first of all, I'd never even heard of her until this. Okay, so I don't know who she thought she was, like a second in Aquaman or whatever, but... Okay, Aquaman.
Was she in Aquaman?
She was, apparently. And she's co-starred with Jason Momoa. And they said that the chemistry there, like, they didn't get along very well. Just as a woman, I'm just telling you, if you can't get along with that guy, like, don't even say anything. Just look at him, okay? So, you know, if you have a problem with that, you're likely going to have a problem getting along with pretty much anybody.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just, and so, well, but
maybe
then,
she could get a role with Will Smith and they could do a movie.
I know how much you love that guy right now, too. So, but I mean, she was just horrific. And as her attorney, like, wouldn't you sit there and be completely embarrassed by her completely horrific act on there? Like, I would be embarrassed to represent her.
Yeah, I'd really like to jump in on that one, but go ahead.
Well, I mean, to an extent, you know, you're a hired gun, right?
So
you know,
what
you're
do?
Making the you're making the arguments that the best arguments you can make for her. But I think it's evident from the fumbling that her lawyers had, at one point, I believe one of her attorneys objected to his own question,
which
I thought was very funny. But I think that, you know, it's not necessarily that they're bad lawyers, they just had a crappy case, and they were being I'm sure they're being paid a lot, although actually I wouldn't be surprised to learn in a few months that they would be suing her to pay attorney's fees. Who knows?
Because
she owes some money,
She'll never, they flat out already said, they said pretty much immediately
the attorney also is kind of at the mercy of their client, because they're paying the bills,
right?
You know, I have an experience with that, But when your attorney and even the judge and other people are trying to tell you, you don't want to do this, you probably don't want to do it. You hired an attorney for a reason.
Right.
They're supposed to be the expert. Listen to your attorney.
Right. Well, exactly. Exactly. And she, but I can't imagine sitting there, for instance, you know, the one thing they told her was, don't mention Kate Moss. Whatever you do, do not say the words Kate Moss. And what did she do? Well, I thought about Kate Moss and her story. And it was, and they literally were like fist pumping and cheering on Johnny Depp's side that she said these words. And you know, the cameras didn't show Amber Heard's lawyers going face palm. She did exactly what we told her not to do. Like, how do you even sit through that after that at that point? Like, that's there are parts of your job that I know that my body and facial expressions would never, like, I could not get
through.
Oh,
I have such a problem with that,
Yeah, just, I would just be like, oh my God, I can't believe you just did that! You know, like, why would you just...
I can't see you doing
that. No, not me at all. No, not me. But I mean, I was absolutely stunned. And
She had a very interesting face during the whole trial. You know, when the camera was on her, she had this very enigmatic set expression, which I thought was very odd. But she didn't move her face at all.
Mm-mm. And she tried her hardest to look sad. Again, she's just not that good of an actress. I mean, she just and that didn't help her. No. You know, but then again, when you're just gonna flat out lie, I mean, it doesn't really matter what your facial expression is. People can tell.
Yeah.
They have guts. You know, they know they can tell in their you know, in their sixth sense that this is not right. And so, and the jury worked, you know. Now, the appellate stuff that keeps you from being in front of juries, right? Because it's after the fact.
Yes, there's no jury. Right. And it's all pretty much written. You'll do an oral argument in front of the Court of Appeals or the Supreme Court.
Okay.
And that's a bit more like a trial.
Sure.
But, yeah, it's mostly written.
That's exciting. That's exciting, though, and I'm glad that you have joined that team. You seem like somebody who will fit very well with that team, because I know that they cover a lot of things. They are really, really good at a lot of different areas of law. And when you get somebody, and I'm sure that that's what they said, when you get somebody with your enthusiasm about some of these things, hang on to him. And so I'm so glad that you're there, and I'm so glad came in this morning. And it was just nice to meet you.
Yeah,
and
great to meet you too.
Kind of answering our Amber Heard, you know, our pressing.
The really important stuff.
Right, the really important questions that we had. No kidding. But Phil Steigerwald, once again, with GKWW Law. If you need their services, go to GKWWLaw.com. Get the phone number. They have an office right here in Lake Geneva, and they are happy to answer questions. So anyway, Phil, thank you so, so much. I'm sure we'll see you again very soon. Thanks for joining us this morning. We'll wrap up Life Matters right after this on Lake 96.1.